Joining me now on the podcast in her third season as Columbia women's basketball coach is Megan Griffith. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks. How about yourself?
Excellent, excellent. It's been a happy new year for your team, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's been nice. It's been a nice 2019 so far.
Yeah, first came a 25-point blowout win, really running away win for your Lions over a team you lost to last season, Hampton, in which sophomore Riley Casey scored a career-high 31 points, and first-year Sienna Durr notched her third 20-point game of the season. Then on Sunday came what you said was a monumental win and probably one of the biggest wins in program history, a 72-68 triumph at reigning Southern Conference champion Mercer down in Georgia. There was a great video that Columbia Women's Basketball posted on Twitter of the jubilation that you and your players greeted each other with after you walked into the locker room following the win. Why is beating Mercer such an important win for your team and this program?
Well, you know, a number of reasons, but I think for our young group to see hard work paying off and how to execute a game plan properly. And I mean, Mercer, you know, all the credit to Coach Merchant and her team. I mean, that's a first-class program that, you know, never really beats themselves. You know, they kind of go about their way. They do what they do. They do it well, and they don't do it with a lot of errors. So, you know, knowing that they were a 30-3 team last season and kind of having this challenge for us right after the new year was big. You know, it was something I was really looking forward to as a coach, you know, and kind of when I told our team what it meant, you know, leading up to it. I think they really embraced that. And I think this shows the level of competitive nature that they have and excitement for, you know, the Ivy Gauntlet coming up here. So for us as a program, I mean, it was huge. It was really big. And, you know, for anybody that knows women's basketball, women's college basketball, you know, that's a great program. So it was huge for us.
Yeah, it's awesome. And accordingly, head turning honors were bestowed on two of your players this week. The U.S. Basketball Writers Association named Sienna Durr its NCAA Women's Freshman of the Week, and Metropolitan Basketball Writers Association named Riley Casey its Co-Player of the Week. Having of course lost Camille Zimmerman to graduation, this team relies so heavily on underclass and particularly first-year contributors from Durr to Kayla Markham, who's registered at least 5 assists in each of the past 8 games. Lillian Kennedy is a first year. With a team so young, how important is confidence going into Ivy play? Your players seem to have it, but how would you define its importance?
You know, I really believe confidence is everything with basketball. You know, it doesn't matter what you run. It doesn't matter your defensive scheme. If your kids don't believe in it and don't trust it and don't believe in themselves, it's really hard to go out there and do anything super well. So for us and for them, with this youthful, eager team that's extremely hungry to be able to, you know, fill, like, I know everybody was like, well, what are you going to do without Camille? What's going to happen without Camille next year? And I'm like, we're going to be different. You know, we're going to be a different team. And I think they've embraced that well from the beginning. And I think this is a testament to them, you know, just finding that chemistry amongst themselves. You know, we've talked a lot about in a program that player-led teams go way further than coach-led teams. And they're finally taking the reins themselves. And I'm really proud of them for that, for embracing that.
Yeah, I guess it's becoming a player-led team in that sense before our eyes at this point, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah, you know, it's just something that you hope the momentum of this win in Hampton and just, you know, I think this break has been one of the most you know, favorable for us, just in terms of getting to know one another, getting out of this rhythm of, you know, finals, and, you know, that can all weigh on your student athletes a lot. And I think that they really have time to just get to know one another right now and build those relationships so that they trust each other when, you know, they go to battle.
Yeah. Have you looked ahead to sizing up Cornell, who of course you'll have the back-to-back with to open league play next Saturday?
Yes, I have. We're pretty knee deep in that right now. And, you know, Cornell's more experienced team than us. And I have a lot of respect for what Dana does with her program. They are doing a really nice job defensively this season. I think they're second in the league to Penn right now in terms of, you know, holding teams to whatever number of points. And I think that Cornell is, they run, like, they're similar to Mercer in that they do what they do, and that's, like, what they hang their hat on, you know. They're a team that takes pride in that. So it's not like a super erratic team, you know, like, and they're really dependable on one another. And so we're looking forward to the challenge. I think Cornell's going to be a solid program this Ivy season. And, you know, for us, it's just making sure that we're on point with our game plan, and, you know, we have our players as ready as possible.
For our listeners who may not know, you're a Columbia alumna and captain the Lions for three seasons before graduating in 2007. How handy has it been in recruiting to not just have gone to an Ivy League school, but have attended Columbia to be able to say, I know what it's like to go to this school, be on this campus, play for this program?
I really do believe it's invaluable. And I said that from the beginning. And even, you know, when I was pitching myself to our AD, you know, in my hiring processes, I really know what they've been through. You know, we've taken some of the same classes. Like, our core curriculum is the same from when I went there and from the people that all came before me. And just to have that relatable experience, they know that they can talk to me openly about what they're going through. And I think that builds a lot of trust and loyalty and, you know, a great chemistry between the players and myself. And I know I have a much of an open door policy. You know, I want to be in their environment on campus and help them as they're adjusting. So I think there's a lot of that, like, you know, just in terms of, like, getting acclimated to each new year, and especially for our young ones that haven't been to college yet. But I also think, like, you know, from my personal experience, like, and then having gone and coached and played, I do know what it takes to win our league now. And I think that's something I'm even more excited to impart on our players and our young team, is that, you know, this is not something that just happens. You know, there's a lot of thoughtfulness and being mindful of your actions and choices every day. So that's odd that we try to talk about with our players.
Has the quality of play in Ivy League basketball gotten better from when you played in the league? And if so, why do you think it has?
Tremendously. I could say, you know, it's not to knock my playing days and the people that were there, but I would say from top to bottom in, you know, across rosters, the talent level is way more vast and deeper. And, you know, I think that the Ivy League has really turned some heads in terms of how they recruit now. And I think, you know, that's one thing I learned a lot from my, you know, my former boss, Courtney Banghart, was how to recruit and how to recruit at a high level. You know, and I think that people are starting to understand is, you know, you don't have to sacrifice a really solid and amazing education. It's just about doing your work and getting out and finding the best possible players that want to be a part of what you're trying to create. So, you know, I think in that, you know, now 12 years that I've been out, it's changed quite a lot, the landscape of college women's basketball. And I think mid-major basketball, you know, the Ivy League is at the pinnacle of that. And it's impressive that our league has performed so well over the last, you know, 5 or so years. And I think that's only going to get better as long as we all keep doing our jobs and you know, getting those players. But it's really fun right now because each game, each weekend, you have to prepare for a different kind of program. And I you know, I don't know if that was necessarily the case when I was playing. You know, I think teams were a little bit more similar. And now you're seeing a lot of athleticism and different styles of play. And it makes it fun for us as coaches as well.
A lot harder to prepare than it used to be, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I was like, I don't remember us being this in-depth, but I'm sure my coaches did just as much work. It's, you know, now being on the other side, you just get a totally different perspective on it.
Yeah, sure. And, of course, a huge development amid that upward trajectory of the league is the Ivy League tournament. From a scheduling standpoint this year, number one versus the number four seed on the women's side, that's Saturday. This year it's the 16th at 6 p.m., the 2 versus the 3 about a half hour after that game ends, and then the women's final the following day, of course, at 4 p.m., that on ESPNU. What do you think is the best way to showcase the women's games from a scheduling standpoint. Are you pretty happy with that slate, or are there tweaks that you'd like to see?
I mean, there's been a lot of research, and I mean, the tournament's still very new and young, and I think, you know, the Ivy League is trying to do its best to manipulate it so that we're getting linear television and coverage. We get to be in the same site as the men and then accommodate everybody else's, requests. And I think that's really hard to do when you host the tournament in the same place as your men's programs. And I think the neat thing is that keeping it at home in our schools, like going to Yale this year after being at the Plus Trip for two. So, you know, I'm the kind of person that sees it like, you know, if I'm in the tournament, or you're in the tournament, or, you know, whatever school's in the tournament, like, your kids just need to show up and compete. You know, there's only so much you can control. And so for me, like, I'm not, you know, I can't say that I'm happier or not happy about the way the format is. Ideally, I would love to have a day between the games. I mean, who wouldn't, right? Ideally, you'd love 24 hours between the games. So I think there's always that goes into it, but I understand why, because the men need to turn around their game so that they can get to the seating. So it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard. We've talked a lot about different formats, and, you know, I think the Ivy League thinks this is the best one. So, you know, we're going to ride with that and make sure that, you know, when we get there, if we get there, that we're ready.
From a more macro perspective, I know you told Harvard Magazine last season you'd like to see all 16 teams, women's and men's, to compete. Mm-hmm. Why would you like to see all the teams in the tournament?
To me, I think it gives teams that may not have started the season right or well, and or that, you know, have gotten to a 500 point or, you know, a couple of them late. It gives you a chance for like a real tournament feel. You know, like sometimes I think the top four, especially like a few years ago, you know, that was determined relatively early. You know, especially after like the first round of play. And I just think there's some really good teams in our league, and I think a lot of other leagues send all their teams, and I'm like, why don't we give everybody the chance to do that? You know, I think that some people are afraid that there will be upsets, and I'm like, wasn't that why we play in March? So, you know, for me, and especially being a young team, I would fight for every chance I could play as long as possible. So, you know, that's also another part of it, another layer of it. So, you know, I think it would be great if we could send all 8 teams. I think, you know, they'd have to rework quite a few things, but like I said, there's a lot of good basketball in our league right now, and I think you know, each of the teams deserves to play.
Yeah, that's true. Upsets come with the territory in March, with March Madness.
Yeah, you know, like the best teams need to be at their best, and teams that are on the rise, like, you got to be ready for them. You know, people get better, and that's again why we play. You know,
right.
Everybody's hoping to get better over the duration of the season.
Yeah, they don't call it March normalcy. No.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So I do get the sense you're glad that there is a conference tournament, though.
Right? Oh, definitely. Yeah. I was all in favor for that. I've always been in favor for that. I would have loved it when I was a player, if we had it.
Well, Megan Griffith, your program's definitely building a lot of momentum. It's exciting stuff. And it's been really terrific having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking time out to come on, and best of luck to you and your team the rest of the season.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the time.